Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, come with me quickly to the book of Hebrews, chapter number six, and as you're turning, Father, we just thank you right now, God, for this opportunity to break open your bread of life. Father, we ask even now, God, that you would create in us a clean heart, renew the right spirit within us even now, God, that you would dig out our ears, God, prepare our ears, God, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would speak unto us as the church, oh God. I pray, God, that our hearts are prepared, God, to receive, Father God, your uncompromising truth even now, Father God. Let the seeds of your word, Father God, fall upon the fertile grounds of our heart, that it may spring up and bring forth and harvest even now, God, that we are able to make application, full application of your word. God, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hebrews chapter number 6. Starting at verse number 13, would you have it say amen? Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us enter, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." You may be seated in the presence of the living God. And what we're trying to work with on tonight, as our theme is talking about, I'm a soul man. And trust me, y'all, I was like, how does this even fit in our theme? But we're going to try to make it fit in this theme. In Jesus' mighty name, we're going to try to make sure that it fits within this theme. So the title that God gave me, if he said it, it shall be. And my subtopic is the hope of my soul. The hope of my soul. The hope of my soul. If he said it, then it shall be. I don't know about you. There are many things that I'm waiting for God to do that he said. And there are a lot of us, we believe God has said some things when actuality or reality, it is God who has not spoken. And some of those things we've made up, some of those things we believe we heard was just a figment of our imagination. Some of those things we believe we heard came straight out of the depths of our soulless realm, our soul or our emotions. In other words, our emotions spoke clearly to us. It was not God. And so that's why some of us, we feel like, God, where are you? God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? In reality, God has not spoken anything. But when God has spoken it himself, I'm talking about when he's spoken a sure word, if he said it, then it shall be. I'm talking about when you know without a shadow of a doubt, when he speaks it, if he said it, then it shall be. It is the hope of my soul. It is the hope of my soul. It is the hope of my soul. And we're here in the book of Hebrews chapter number 6, and we're dealing with a passage of scripture where we're talking about the reliability of God. We're talking about the trustworthiness of God. We're talking about God and his honor code, because honor is a big thing to God. And for most of us, we don't necessarily have an honor code like that. The thing is, if you struggle with settling and compromising, it speaks to your honor code. There are certain things that you just honor and you're unwilling to compromise. You're unwilling to set aside some things. This speaks to your honor code. And so, but because we understand God is big on honor, we know God cannot lie. As the scripture has said, God cannot lie. So This passage of scripture speaking to God's reliability. It's speaking to God trustworthy. Because many of us, there are times we struggle with whether or not can we trust God with what he's spoken to us. And it's not so much that you're really struggling with whether or not God is trustworthy himself. You are actually struggling with your level of faith. What you're really saying, we make it simple by pointing to God. God, I don't know if I can trust you, God. I don't know if you're going to come through. But the reality, you're struggling with your measure of faith. And instead, what you really should be saying is, God, I don't know if I can trust you. It's not that you are not trustworthy. I don't know if I have the level of faith to trust what it is that you said, God. When we think about God as worthy, right? When we think about God as holy, or when we simply think about God as faithful, because the scripture declares that he is faithful, meaning he is full of faith. God himself operates in faith. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is steadfast, right? It's something that can be trusted about God. When he speaks, you can trust what he says, right? And so because of that, when we understand this right here, when we think about the name faithful, he is worthy of that name. Oh yeah, did you hear what I said? He is worthy of that name. When we call him faithful, he is worthy to be called faithful. See, I know you think you faithful because you ain't stepped out on your husband, you ain't stepped out on your wife, you ain't looking at no porn, all these different things. But if we were to check your mind, if we were to check your heart when y'all get into a heated argument, if we were to check how you feel when you feel like you backed up and you're a little sexually frustrated, we'll see that you have struggled, because the Bible tells us when a man, and mind you, it's not lust, it's not a man thing, it's not a male thing. The man, scripture is depicting man, denoting individual, right? So understand, and when you go into man, man, we understand it can be plural, meaning all of mankind. Because we know women, you lust too. There are some women who are straight up lust buckets too. You struggle with lust of the eyes as well as lust of the flesh. And so the Bible tells us what? When a man looks upon a woman to lust after, he's already committed adultery in his heart, right? So it's telling us you don't even have to go and commit the physical act. You can do it in your mind. You can do it in your heart. You can do it with your eyes. So there are many of us, we consider or call ourselves faithful. No, I'll never cheat. You cheated. You need to repent for that. Yeah. And if you're not married, think about how many times you've cheated on God. Think just when you think about just your behavior as an individual. If you thought about cheating on your taxes, you took ownership of that thought, then guess what? You're unfaithful. You have been unfaithful to your unfaithful government. Oh, y'all ain't gonna like me right there. Even though your government is unfaithful to you, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land. You're supposed to be faithful to the government. Oh, y'all ain't gonna like me right there. Y'all ain't gonna like that right there. Oh, yeah. I know y'all don't like number 45 as much as that's what some of y'all call him, number 45. But guess what? He has been anointed to be, when I say anointed, he was chosen to be there. God allowed it to be so. As much as you don't like him, as much as you have a problem with him, God allowed it to be so. And God is big on honor. You're supposed to honor those that are in leadership position. And so the fact that you cannot honor, the fact that you're being unfaithful to your government shows that, guess what? You indeed have cheater-type mentality or cheater-type behavior. You are very capable of cheating. Because see, guess what? He's showing you with your behavior, because guess what? We first natural, then we're spiritual. He's showing you your conduct and your behavior as it relates to who you are in the natural. So if you're capable of cheating in the natural, then how much the more have you committed adultery on God, who's supposed to be married to him? Devoted and committed to him. Oh, so we all capable of cheating. I don't even know how we got here. Lord, have mercy, right? But in reality, we all capable of cheating. And we all have cheated, if you're willing to be honest. We all have cheated. See, don't nobody want to say it about themselves. You're a cheater. You're a cheater. Yes, you are. You're a cheater. And we don't like that. We don't like that. We don't want to be known as a cheater. I only have eyes. But no, you don't. Stop. To only have eyes for them, you might as well pluck your eyes out and never see nothing again. Be blind.
You ain't got no justice. Because every time, if that's the case, whenever you pass by anybody, you should be covering your eyes or looking down. Don't see nobody then. And we're not doing that. And I'm not saying every time you look at somebody, you lusting after them. But then there are some of us, lust is all in your eyes. Yeah, it's all in your eyes. He is worthy of that name, faithful. And notice how we try to attach that label to ourselves. I'm faithful. When you're really not committed. If you want to know how committed you are, let somebody other than yourself give you an instruction or direction.
There it is. Instruction or direction.
Because see, when God gives you an instruction or a direction, guess what? He's going to show you just how committed you are. He gonna show you just how faithful you are. So guess what? Even on your job, when your boss gives you an instruction, if you can't come subject to it without rearing up, rolling your eyes, huffing and puffing, just doing what they told you to do, having all kind of crazy thoughts, it is showing you you are uncommitted. You think because you did the job, well, I did it, but you didn't do it in the manner that you were supposed to do it in. You're not really committed like that. Because guess what? If another job came along where you was making more money, you would bounce just like that. You ain't gonna help me right there. If anything better came along, you up out of there just like that, which proves you are not committed. Some of us are only where we are because this is what we believe. This is the best thing that I can get. But if you were able to believe that I can get something better and that better came along, oh, you would bounce in a heartbeat. That's not just job, but that's also with people in relationships. I know you don't like me right there. Whoo! If I thought I could get better, I would bounce. If I thought better wanted me, I would bounce. I wouldn't be as committed. I don't care how much you talk about you ride or die. Some of us will say, I'll take my ride or die ways over here. Oh. I have to be careful. I'll tell you, I have to be careful. My wife worked with all them doctors. They got way more money than me. I say, listen. I ain't even need me sugarcoating anything. I will hurt both of y'all. I'm telling you, you or that doctor won't ever walk again. Y'all cheat on me. I'm talking about, I'm bashing all kind of kneecaps in. She preferred me tell the truth. She know who she working with. Like, listen now. And then, you know, she told me one day, she told me, I said, hi, her and son. Because she, you know, she worked with a bunch of secular folk, right? And these secular folk, they claim they go to church and all this stuff, and they be talking about different folk. And they talking about somebody on the job, how this man look good. And my wife told me, now she gonna be honest, she said, yeah, I looked at him, he did. He was a nice looking brother. I said, Rochelle, I ain't really jealous like that. But you talking about him a little too much. I have already heard this conversation. I don't need to hear this conversation again. You feel like, hold on now. Hold on, why are we talking about him again? So I just have to look like, and then I listen, I pay attention to names just in case something ever pop off. I know who to go look for. I know who to look for. Oh, there's a method to why I do what I do. I know who to look for. Oh, you've been talking to such and such. No matter if it's male or female, I know who to look for. I just let her talk. When she be talking about all her coworkers, I just be locking names in my mental Rolodex.
Mental Rolodex.
I know who to go look for. You understand? But we almost had a situation. Not because this doctor was attracted to her, but this doctor was trying to mishandle her. I said, and she was like, you don't know who I'm married to. That's all she had to say. I was already put my plan together. Ha, I'm about to dismantle this doctor. With all your money, that won't prevent you from being taken out, though. I was about to invest in me one of them black ski masks. Oh, you got. You see, it didn't help. Now, this is when Jason was not real saved yet. Jason was like, bruh. You ain't ever got to hear from him again. Nah, I ain't trying to go that far, Jason. I'm trying to go that far now. Like, hey, I'm trying to go that far. Whoa, let's hold up. This is make him feel it. Just make him feel it. That's all. Sure. You kind of got, it's like, whoa. You know what I mean? And so when I told my wife, she was like, I ain't talking about all that. I'm just saying, well, you can't be telling me type of stuff. I said, because that's going to make me want to respond. Like, you know, I say sanctified, but I still will fight. You know what I'm saying? That's just being honest with who I am. And I don't believe in fighting fair anymore. There used to be a point in my life, I thought, no, you got to fight fair. Oh, fight fair, fight fair. But after somebody stole me, oh, the rules have changed. You get stole real good. But the thing is, he ain't knocked me out. You should have knocked me out. Now you got to pay for that.
I got knocked out.
You understand? You got to pay for that. But I'm saying, when you get stole, the rules of engagement change. So I don't believe in fighting fair no more. I'm going to take whatever I need to take to a fight. That's just me. That's just me, right? I don't know why we went there, but we went there. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're talking about being faithful. Some of us are so, we believe, we lie to ourselves and making ourselves believe that we're so faithful. When reality, you are so unfaithful. Just check your behavior. Your behavior will let you know where you are. Check your conversation. Check your emotions. These are all things that will let you know exactly where you are as it relates to you being faithful. Right? So the scripture speaks to the reliability or the faithfulness, the trustworthiness of God, right? It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And see, we got to understand the importance of making an oath or making a swearing. It's when two parties are trying to have a covenant agreement about something, because usually the thing that we're trying to agree upon can actually bring strife between the two of us.
Right.
Right? And if we don't get this thing figured out, if we don't come to an understanding about this thing, we can run the risk of falling out with one another, which is not good. So think about it. Making promises and making oath was big in the Hebraic culture, right? So he said, from when God made promise to Abraham, and notice what the promise was, I'm going to give you seed. I'm going to give you a land, all these different things. When he made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Now, in them swearing in this culture, they would swear upon a name that carried more influence or carried more responsibility than that of themselves. So in other words, they would swear on the name of someone else that they believe was more important than themselves. Oh, look at God. Look at God. I can't find nobody whose name carries the weight that my name carries. So in order to solidify, make this promise sure, make this promise legit, make this promise a legal binding covenant agreement, I'm going to swear on my own name. Y'all ain't called it yet, right? So I want you to understand, I can't find none greater than me, so I got to utilize my, I'm going to throw my own name out here. I swear on faithful because I am faithful. Abraham, I swear by faithful, meaning I swear by myself that I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you this land. Because see, I can't swear by Johnson and I can't swear by Nelson because that name doesn't carry enough authority, doesn't carry enough weight for me to swear by. So guess what? I must swear by faithful. I must swear by true. Right? Give me verse number 14. He says what? Saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. This is housed inside of the promise. So I'm swearing on my own name that I'm going to indeed, surely, because he said, saying, surely, blessed, surely, indeed, certainly, I am going to bless you. Indeed and certainly, I am going to multiply you. So ain't no need even trying to get no more revelation out of that. That's plain and simple. Give me faith. He said, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This is talking about Abraham. After he so patiently endured, he obtained the promise, right? Now this word patient in the Greek is talking about what? He said, after he endured, meaning to persevere patiently and bravely. After he had patiently endured, he waited patiently, but separate and apart from waiting patiently, he waited bravely. See, most of us, we struggle with the waiting part, the patiently waiting aspect, right? But then when you feel you master waiting patiently, the reality, you have not always waited bravely. If you begin to question, your questioning or your uncertainty, if you're struggling with doubt or unbelief, it is an indicating factor that you in fact are dealing with fear. So he's shown that anytime there is fear, there is no courage. If there is fear, there is no bravery on display. You understand what I'm saying? So if you have been in a place where you've questioned whether or not God is going to do what he said, it is showing us you might have waited patiently, but you have not waited bravely. Can I get some help right there? You haven't waited bravely, you know, because you struggle with fear. I'm afraid. I don't know if God's going to do it. It is showing us that you are actually dealing with fear. If you're questioning if God is going to do it, you're dealing with an element of fear. But the Bible says, and so after he had patiently endured, he waited for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. And while he patiently waited for a significant amount of time, he did it in a manner that was brave. Brave. He witnessed folk around him having children. Because see, you can see folk having what you know God said you're supposed to have, and it will make you question your faith in God. It will make you question whether or not God is going to do what he said about you. Amen. But Abraham, he waited patiently and he waited bravely. Right? So go down to verse 16. He says what? For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So again, what we were talking about, when there is an issue between two parties, we come together and we make an oath. We swear on a name that's greater than that of our own. Why? Because this is what's going to put an end to the strife that's between us. See, this issue has us going at one another's throat right now. Can't get no help right there. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? There is something that the both of us are trying to get an understanding about. And because we don't have an understanding on what we should be doing, this thing is unclear to us. You have your suggestion. I have my suggestion. You have your opinion. I have my opinion of what I think we should do, what I think is right, and you have yours. But if we don't come to some mutual understanding, some mutual agreement, this thing is going to keep strife or keep division between us. I don't know about you, but it comes a point where you get tired of arguing. It comes a point where you get tired of fighting. I'm talking about I don't have the strength in me to fight anymore. You understand? Because this fight, this is an unnecessary fight. You understand? This fight is all around because you don't have a good understanding. I don't have a good understanding. We could be utilizing our strength to fight about something more important. I'm talking about fighting a real fight. This is unnecessary. Right? So in order to squash all that, they would have a mediator come between them, and we would come together and we would swear on a name that's greater than that of our own. A name that carried weight, a name that carried authority, a name that carried influence, a name that was important in the community, right? He said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. So this coming together, well, I swear. You know, that's why folk be telling myself, I swear on my mama. Yep. I swear on my grandma. Because yep. What they're saying is their grandma carried more weight than them. Their grandma was someone who was influential inside the family. Their grandmother carried weight inside of the family. Big mama and grandma, you know what I'm saying? She demonstrated integrity. She demonstrated kindness. She demonstrated love. She demonstrated the ability that she would correct you. So you knew grandmother was somebody that we can trust. I swear on my mom. I swear on my grandma. So all we're saying is I'm swearing on the name of someone that is trustworthy. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So as we come together and we make this agreement upon this particular name, this is going to bring us to an understanding, and this is going to bring peace between the two parties, right? Now, when you move into verse 17, this is what? He says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, right? Go back to verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Keep that in mind, right? So take me back to that particular verse. Where was it? Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. This is God saying, I am bringing myself into covenant agreement with you, Abraham. Now, we know Abraham had a problem with it. Oh, can I talk to y'all? I am well past the childbearing years, God. How is this even possible? So he's showing us that I have a problem with what you're saying, God. Then when you throw my wife into the equation, she laughed like, how is that even going to be possible? So Sarah has a problem with it. So the two parties that God is bringing himself into covenant agreement with, they have a problem with it, right? So thereby, hence the strife between the two people, right? Now, we told you in this culture they were bringing a mediator. But he told you in verse number 13, there was none greater, so I had to swear by my own name. So what am I saying? God became the mediator while making the covenant agreement with Abraham and Sarah all at the same time. Amazing. I am going to be the mediator between myself and your wife. Because I can't find nobody that's greater than me. And even though I'm going to be the mediator between me and you and your wife, guess what? I'm going to also use my name because there is no name that's greater than my name. So I'm going to mediate and we're going to swear on my name while I bring peace into this agreement. Because guess what? If I said it, y'all didn't understand what I just said. Because you have had an Abraham Sarai moment. It ain't necessarily that God has promised you a child, but God, what I'm talking about, God has gave you a promise. Yes, he did. And the fact that you were unable to believe what he said, God had to mediate between you and himself. When he brought himself into covenant agreement with you and what he spoke, he said, guess what? I'm a mediator between you and myself according to what I said. And I swear on my own name. My name is paper. Guess what? If I said it, it shall take place in your life. But I want you to understand Abraham. Abraham gives you a good example. What I said may not happen overnight. What I said, it may take some time for that thing to manifest itself. But what I want you to understand about me, because I'm in covenant agreement with you, but I'm really in covenant agreement with myself. I can't lie to myself. And I want you to understand that I will not fail you, because guess what? My name is on the line. I didn't swear by your name. I swear by my own name. And baby, if I don't come through, I'm proving to you that I'm alive. Liar. And one thing that you see in my word is that I cannot lie. That if my name is faithful, it is who I am. If I spoke it, it shall be. He said, if he said it, then it shall be. I don't know about you. There's some things that God said. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I might have to wait for it, but it shall be. I may be patiently waiting, but see, for some of us, it's not about you patiently waiting. He's trying to get you to wait bravely. You got to get that fear out so you can trust God. Yeah, you got to get the fear out your mind. You got to get the fear out your eyes. You got to get the fear out your heart. You got to get the fear out your understanding. You got to get the fear out your faith. Oh yeah, it may take some time, but even if it takes time, I know that it shall be. Why? Because it cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise. And because we have been engrafted in, we are not heirs of the promise. He's saying, I'm going over and above. See, you got to understand, I'm going so over and beyond because I can't find nobody to be the mediator between me and you. Guess what? I'm the only one that can fit that position. And I can't find no other name that has the authority that my name carries. So guess what? I'm going to just be the mediator, but I'm going to also bring the authority that's in my name. And sign, seal, and it shall be delivered, because I'm using my own name. Because to use his name is to use his reputation. And what he's trying to get you to understand, if it's in my name, my rep is good. You can bank it. You can trust what I'm saying. I'm going overboard. I'm going above and beyond for you. This how much you matter to me. Do you understand what God is wanting you to know? There could be no Israel without Abraham. There could be no nation of Israel without Abraham. So I want you to know, I'm willing to do this for you. Now, I know what's going to be produced, what's going to come out of this agreement. But guess what? I'm not just doing this for myself. Because see, we can say, well, God, well, you was just doing it because you wanted a nation for yourself. Eh, depends on how you look at it. But we also know I'm going to give you a child because you need a child. It's what you need. I'm going to give you what you need. But I got it set up that when I give you what you need, I am able to extract what I need and what I want from what I gave you and what you need. I'm that type of God that I can get what I'm giving you. I can get for myself. I can take what I need out of what I gave you, and it'll still be enough because I'm that type of God. I'm giving you what you need, but guess what? In what I give you according to what you need, I'm still going to set it up that I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to set it up in such a manner that I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to have such a people that's going to come out of you, that's going to bless me, that's going to be separate and apart, that's going to honor me, that's going to give me the glory, that's going to exalt me, that's going to extol me, that's going to give me the praise, that's going to worship me. I'm going to get what I need out of giving you what you need. Who would serve a God like this? I say, who would serve a God like this? Y'all ain't heard me right there. He has the ability to give me what I need while at the same time extracting what he needs out of what he gave me. Who would not serve a God like this? He's going over, above, and beyond to do it for you. You don't even understand how hard God is working. Working to get past your unbelief. Working to press past your fears. Working to move beyond your doubts. Working to move past, God, I don't understand. Working to move past, God, why you chose me. Working to, because you can find somebody that's greater than you. You can find somebody that deserves it better than you. But he said, guess what? I chose you. And you, guess what? Look at all God is having to work with dealing with you. Have to work. Many days you confused whether or not I'm going to trust God or whether or not I'm not going to trust God. But God is still working. He's behind the scene manipulating things. Oh, yeah. I'm going to let that work for you for your good. Yeah. I'm going to let you have a little bit extra money so you can do this and put it to that right there. Guess what? That's going to show you that I'm working behind the scenes. When you couldn't trust me, I'm going to let drop little seeds in your life to show you that you can trust me, that I'm trustworthy. That's why they call me Vapor, because it's my name. It's my reputation. It's my fame. It is my glory that's on the line. It really ain't got nothing to do with you. It has everything about me being God. Whether or not I can be trusted, whether or not I am true, whether or not I am real, whether or not the proof of who I am exists. Oh yeah. I'm working is what God's saying. Somebody just need to know God is still working on your behalf. He's still working it up. Oh, the old psalmist say, he's working it out. Yes, he is. I know it might sound cliche and a little traditional, but I want to encourage somebody. My God is working it out. Yeah, you ain't got to understand how he's working it out. Just know that he's working it out. You ain't got to see it, but just know that he's working it out. Oh, he has you on his mind. You're on the heart of God. He is working it out. There's some days you don't even know how to express to God what it is that you need to be worked on. Oh, but I'm so glad before I can even ask that he already knows what it is that I need. Yeah, he's behind the scenes working. He's working hard. With our unforgiving selves, some days he's working harder. With our lustful selves, he's working harder. With our rebellious selves, he's working harder. With our disobedient selves, he's working harder. He got to get past all of this flesh. But yet still he works. Mediating between you and himself. What am I really saying? Do you understand God is telling himself, I know they don't look like what you see down the line, but you chose them. Because remember, God, you are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning and end, God. You got to see past there right now, God. This is God talking to himself about shit. He reminded himself, they can be trusted with the promise. Because you chose them. I know they seem weak right now. I know they seem vulnerable right now. I know they struggle with whether or not they want to keep on being a Christian right now. But God, let me remind you about them, God. Deep down on the inside, God, they love you. Deep down on the inside, God, they want you. Deep down on the inside, God, they're seeking you. Deep down on the inside, God, they desire you, God. They're chasing after you, God. Yes, they have some days they mess it up. Yes, they have some days they're a hot mess, but God, he's reminding himself about you. Till this is him as the mediator reminding himself about you. That as himself being the mediator reminding himself about you, he has to say, you have spoken well. He has to tell himself, you have spoken well, God. That you spoke about them, you have spoken well. He'll say, a truth, Lord. That is the truth, what you spoke about them. Hot mess, but they love me. Oh, yeah. Oh, some days they struggle with their commitment, but they love me. Some days they want to walk away, but they love me. They are devoted to me. They are committed. They are submitted to me. He's reminding himself about you. That he reminded himself in such a manner, okay, we're going to swear by my name. When they bring in the name is, I'm in agreement. Did you hear what I say? Whenever we get to the point where we bring in the name that we're going to swear upon, we have now come to an understanding that now we can agree upon something. And God has come to an understanding with you. Oh, yeah, about you. He understands, okay, yeah, I can work with them. I understand my glory shall be seen. I understand my glory shall be revealed. I understand they will bless me. Like David, at all times they will bless me. They may have a moment where they're struggling with hesitation, but once they come out of their emotion, they will bless me. When they get beyond themselves, they will bless me. When they take their mind off of what they're dealing with, they will bless me. When they remind themselves of how good I am, they will bless me. When they understand that I'm a worthy God, they will bless me. I remind myself about you, oh yeah, and it's good. Verse 18, he says, that by the two immutable things, what is he talking about? His name and his word. It by the two immutable things, meaning the unchangeable things. The thing that's unalterable. You can't change or alter my name. You cannot change or alter my word. And I know you have tried to change his word because of fear. Oh, yeah. The fear that's working in you. And we've even tried to allow time to change. But I'm here to declare to you, time cannot change or alter what he said. The fear that you deal with cannot change or alter what he said. It is a sure thing. If he said it, then it shall be. That by two immutable things, my name is unchanging. Meaning, my authority, you can't change it. My word is unchanging. It will last forever. Did you hear what I say? His word shall last forever. Forever will endure your situation. I don't care because you've been dealing with it for 5 years. His word shall stand forever. It doesn't matter if it just started and you projecting it as we're going to be in this thing for 6 more years. His word. His
word can't be changed. His name can't be changed. But God has this uncanny ability that he can go inside of time and change your
Y'all don't even understand, Lord. I'm talking to myself. Well, come on, I'm going to talk to you then. I don't care how long you've been dealing with it. His name won't change and his word won't change, but because of the authority and power that's in his word and because of the authority and power that's in his name, those two immutable things have the ability to go inside your situation, to go down inside of time and change this. That's why I suddenly could take, that's why immediately could take place. Are y'all not hearing what I'm saying? That's why you have the word suddenly. That's why you have the word immediately, because he said, guess what? It was my authority that was backed by my name, and it was the authority that was accompanied in my word that I could change the situation suddenly, or I can change the situation immediately. I don't care how long you've been in it. When you understand that he has come in covenant agreement with you and he's going above and beyond to make sure what he says come to pass. Time cannot stop it. Can I really be real with y'all? Your fear cannot stop. When we even dig into Abraham and Sarah, she laughed because it was really a nervous fear. It was a scared fear. Can this really be possible? But her fear couldn't stop it. Your old age, decrepit body can't stop it. I have the ability to anoint what you thought was well past. Because see, again, they was looking at time. We are well past the childbearing years. Your perspective can't stop. They had a perspective about this thing. We too old. Wow, just bless somebody else. But guess what? Your perspective and your understanding of things can't stop it. Because what I said, it shall be. I don't need you to understand it. I don't need you to understand it. Because you feel, in order for you to agree with it, you must understand it. I don't need you to understand it. What I need you to understand is that I'm God. What I need you to understand is that I come in agreement with you. And guess what? I have swore by my own name. What you need to understand is that I'm faithful. You may not be, but I'm faithful. You are in agreement with the one that is faithful. Your fear not gonna stop this. Your mistake not gonna stop this. Your bad choice not gonna stop this. Your bad decision not gonna stop this. Time not gonna stop this. Your perception not gonna change it. Why? It will make God be a lie. There are about two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Oh, see, you would think, y'all would go radical right there. It is impossible for God to lie. And see, your emotions, because the Bible tells us that your heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Your emotions would trick you. Your heart would trick you to make you think God forgot you, to make you think God is not going to do it, to make you think God, well, I messed it up. I know he's not going to do it. But he's trying to let you understand, I swore by my own name. This promise has been backed by my own name. So even your mistakes can't mess this one up. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go make mistakes. I'm not giving you a license to go sin. Oh, yeah, let me throw that disclaimer out there. Because there is still a consequence for your sin. He told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Now, when you read that plainly, you'd be thinking, okay, well, you're going to give that to me, Abraham. Not thinking of that, okay. Well, I honor my word when I gave it to your seed. What am I saying? Your sin still had consequences. So even if that word doesn't manifest itself in your life, God got it set up that this word is going to manifest. Well, this in the life of your pickney. If anybody's the reggae, you understand pickney means your children. It's going to manifest down the line, is all I'm saying.
So I want you to understand. But by the two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible to change or take away the authority that is in his name. Right? He says, so we might have a strong consolation. What is he saying? The writer of the Hebrews is saying, well, we have a strong comfort. To those of you who are dealing with anything, be take comfort. He's saying this is a strong comfort. This ain't no just a slight rub, pat on the back, how feel good. No. If I can give you an image in your mind, it's one of them hugs that Mother Deborah hugs you with, just a real tight, close hug. And you think, in your mind, you be thinking the hug is over and she's still holding you to it. It makes you have to keep on holding. You like, okay, the hug not over, so I got to hug a little. But it brings a strong comfort to you to know that somebody can look beyond my issues, all of my faults and all of my hangups and still love me with a pure love and still want to embrace me. I'm talking about hold me close and hold me tight at the same time. Because the reality, a lot of us want to be held close and we want to be held tight. Oh, but the reality of most of us, we don't feel love like that. It's when you get that love like that, you don't ever want to lose that love like that. So I'm telling you, he's saying this is a strong comfort. I'm trying to tell you, he cannot lie. So you can have strong comfort knowing that he cannot lie. He said, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You're trying to figure out what your hope is in. It's in his word. It's in the agreement that he made with you. Because guess what? This agreement is backed by his name. Agreement is backed by his name. It is backed by his reputation. I can't lie. Y'all not understanding what I'm saying. Whatever God told you, he hasn't just backed it up with his word, but he's backed it up with his name and his reputation. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know, that's just like you coming in agreement with somebody who you know has the ability to do what you cannot do. And you know this person is dependable. That's why you went to him from the Gideon. And you know whatever it is that you're seeking, they have the resources to make it happen. When you leave the presence of that person, if they gave you a yes, you walk away with an assurance. I know this. This is all God is saying. If you can have that much faith in a natural individual, I want you to see the assurances that I put upon this agreement. I put my word, I put my reputation, and I put my name. I have given you three solid assurances that I am going to bring it to pass. You got my word back in it. You got my reputation back in it. And you got my name back in it. I have given you three seals of approval that it shall come to pass. I want you to understand, I have the resources to give what it is that you seek it. All simply put, he's saying, I can do what I said I'm going to do. There is nothing that you can ask me that I am incapable of doing. I am God. So he said, now, with a strong comfort, he said, you can go and take refuge now. And now go lay hold, go and grab hold of hope. Hope, which is a necessary ingredient of your faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. How can I talk to the hopeless today? It's a necessary ingredient that will messes with your faith. In order for your faith to come to pass, in order for God to respond, to react to your faith, you have got to have hope.
Now he's saying you can have strong comfort. Now go and grab hold of your hope.
I see some of y'all ain't gonna be real. You lost hope.
Still was praying, still was laying on your face, still was waving your hand, but you didn't have hope. Are y'all not gonna talk to me? Still giving God praise, still running off to the side dancing, but you didn't have hope. Still walking around your house, praying the scriptures, but you didn't have hope. You wasn't coming in agreement with everybody else, but you yourself did not have hope. I wanna talk to the hopeless. He said, you can have strong comfort. Now go and grab your hope. Somebody understood what I was just talking about. You didn't have hope, he said, but now you have hope. What you didn't have, I'm now releasing to you. What you were struggling with, I'm now releasing to you. Grab hold of your hope. I told you he was working above and beyond. What you didn't have, he's trying to release into your breath. See, there is grace for you to have hope again. Oh, see, every now and then, the Bible says he takes the foolish things to confound the wise. See, it may seem foolish, but some of you might just need to, I'm grabbing my hope. Oh, I'm grabbing my hope, because he's saying he releasing my hope. So I'm about to grab my hope. I'm about to put my hands on my hope, God, because God, I don't ever want to be in this place again, God, where I'm struggling with hope, God. Oh, it used to be a time when I prayed it, God. It was easy to just believe it, but I'm dealing with such an issue in my life, God. I'm struggling with hopelessness, God. I'm struggling with despair, God. But because you are a good God, because you are a gracious God, because you are releasing hope, God, I receive my hope, God, to trust again. I receive my hope, God, to forgive again. I receive my hope, God, that I will be free, completely free. I receive my hope, God, that I shall be healed. I receive my hope, God, that I'm going to fulfill the promises of God. I receive my hope, God, that I shall live and not die. I receive my hope, God, that I am above only and not beneath. I receive my hope that I'm more than a conqueror, God. I got the victory. I received my hope. He said, go grab it. And now you can run to your refuge. What is my refuge? Get in God. Yes. See, it was that moment you got out of God that it's been seen like you've been struggling for months to get your hope back. Y'all are going to talk to me. That one time you felt you got out of God, you felt like it's been taking you months to get your hope back, months to get your faith back, months to get your zeal back, months to get your joy back, months to get your peace back. Oh, but he said, I'm releasing grace. If you could just receive my grace, grab it and don't you let it go. I don't care what you face with. I don't care what you challenge with. I don't care what it look like. I don't care how long it's been. Don't you release it. Don't you let go of your hope. Tell your neighbor, get in God. Go ahead, tell your neighbor, get back in God. Get back in God. You can hope again. I'm going to remind y'all, they told you, keep hope alive. Oh, you better hang on to it, but get back in God. Two, immutable things. He said, no, you can go. He said, which hope? I'm talking about what you didn't have before, but he just released to you. Oh, you didn't have it before. I don't know what came and snatched your hope. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Life will come and rip hope out of your hands. Can I talk to y'all? When me and my wife experienced a miscarriage, that thing ripped hope out of us. We start dealing with fear when we had the next child. God, please, God. God, please, God. God, please, God. Touch a womb, God. Hold a womb together, God. Touch the fallopian tubes, God. We pray every prayer we know to pray. Because light will come and snatch hope away from you. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I don't know what has transpired in your life. Oh, but I'm talking with life. This side has made it a decision. I'm going to raise up against God's manservant. When life has made a decision, I'm going to rise up hard against God's woman servant. Because I'm after your hope. I ain't got to get your faith. If I could just get your hope, guess what? Your faith ain't no good anyhow. See, you think it's about your faith. All this time, you've been thinking this is about your faith. Faith is too much. Because for every man, he's given a certain measure to. For the people with great faith, as the enemy, I don't know if I can carry great faith away. But if I can just get your hope, your great faith becomes ineffective. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Oh, and if you already just got nothing but little faith, if I can get your hope, what was little won't matter at all. See, you thought you've been so focused on faith. This is what makes the enemy so cunning and so crafty. While he got your eyes so focused on your faith, he over here messing with your hope. I'm going to keep letting stuff happen in your life. I'm going to keep letting disappointment take place in your life. Because guess what? Now you're struggling with hope. Well, I hope. That's why we say things like that. I wish I had. That's you really prophesying about your hope. You're not going to talk to me. I wish I had. Or I want to do. I wish change would come. You're really prophesying about your hope. Telling us that the enemy has came and snatched your hope. That's why you'll tell yourself it's hopeless. No such thing as real friends. You're telling us the enemy has snatched your hope. Why am I going to trust God? I've been waiting this long. You telling us the enemy has snatched your hope. You got faith, but the component that makes your faith work is the hope. And you lack that because the enemy has came and stolen your hope. You were guarding your faith. You kept rebuilding your faith. I need to hear the word. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You was building your faith, but you refused. Or didn't even know you had to build your hope. You said, which hope we have? We still talk about soul, man. Oh, what they say? They say, he's an anchor in my soul. I remember that song from back in the day. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? My soul has been anchored in the Lord. Billows may roll. He says storms may come. My soul has been anchored. You got to understand, what does the anchor do for the ship? It's a mechanism that makes sure the ship does not just float away. Regardless of how large the ship is, the ocean has the ability to move cruise ships. It's that powerful. But the anchor, it stops the power of the current of the ocean. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I'm talking about this current overflow of images, this current overflow of words, this current overflow of emotions that the enemy has stirred. Oh, but God, I thank you that my hope, it is an anchor down in my soul, God. And my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Though the storms of life may come, I got an anchor. I will not be easily moved, God. Though my faith is tested and tried, I will not be easily moved. When I want to give up, I will not be easily moved. Why? There is an anchor. There is an anchor. There is an anchor, come on. That's the prayer you pray. That's the prayer you pray. God, put an anchor in my soul. and you didn't even realize maybe God was so mindful of you that he personally answered your spirit with the scripture. Your hope is the anchor down in your soul. Oh, the enemy's trying to kill your hope. Oh, but we back the enemy up. We speak life to your hope. Your hope shall live. 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 So that your soul will prosper. So that your soul will prosper. Oh, help this soul. Oh, help this soul. Come on. Your hope is your anchor. Your hope is your anchor. Your hope is your anchor. Come on, if you trying not to be moved, you better hope again. You trying to keep the enemy out? You better hope again. You want to back the devil up? You better hope again. You trying to stop fear? You better hope again. You want to bind up confusion? Hope again. Come on. We are in an atmosphere. See, if you could just forget about yourself. He's already told you, I have released my grace for you to receive hope. If the grace of God is here, it's by grace and truth. I am declaring the truth of the Lord, and he's already released his grace. See, this is where you got to get outside of you. You got to forget who's around you and say, God, I am in need. God, I am in need. And sometimes the need is simply that I need you. I need you, God. I feel like I'm about to mess it up, God. I need you. I feel like I'm about to make the wrong decision, the wrong choice. I need you. God, the truth is I am dealing with fear, but I need you. I don't know what to do, God. I am in an uncomfortable place in my life right now, but I need you. Come on. God is trying to resurrect hope so that you can trust again. God is trying to resurrect hope so that you can believe again. God is trying to resurrect hope so that you can be loved again. God is trying to resurrect hope, though, so you can receive love, so that you can give love. God is trying to resurrect hope, that you can have real peace, not this false peace, but the true peace of God. Aren't you tired of one day everything seems to be okay, and by the time you get to the end of the day, seem like you're having to deal with another problem, another situation. 99 problems and not enough hope to deal with. 99 problems and not enough faith to trust God. But I'm trying to resurrect your hope. He said, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Understand what he's talking about. The hope of God is reliable. The hope of God is the true hope. And see, you've been there where you had false hope. You've been there where you've experienced false hope. Well, you really believe people were going to honor their word. Where people told you they was going to do and they failed to come through. Where people told you that they would be and they failed to live up to it. But he said, your hope in me, it's a sure thing. It's reliable. And it is true. He said, it's steadfast. Your hope in me is trustworthy. You can trust putting your hope in me. What is he saying? I won't fail you. He's saying, I won't fail you. Do you hear what I say, Shereen? But to make it more personal, Shereen, he's saying, I cannot fail. See, people have the ability to fail your mother, but he's saying, It goes against the nature of who I am. Failure is not an option when you call upon my name. He's saying it's a steadfast thing. You, when you put your trust in me, you can trust that I can't fail you. I'm talking about God is saying, if I tried to fail you, if I tried my hardest to fail you, I still couldn't fail. I'm talking about to the point, if I was God and did nothing, I still. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. If I, being God, did nothing in your life, I still couldn't fail. Oh, this thing is blessing me. He said, if I don't ever speak again, if I don't ever speak again, if I, God, don't wave my hand, I still can't fail. Y'all ain't understanding what I'm saying. If I, God, don't ever move again, I still can't fail. If I never come off my throne in heaven again, I still can't fail. He said it's trustworthy. And which enter into that within the veil. Now let me show you again how really important your hope is. Because see, we never looked at hope in this manner. Which hope we have as an anchor of a soul, both sure, reliable, and true, steadfast, trustworthy. And which enter into that within the veil. Your hope gives you access behind the veil. See, we know what Jesus did. But Jesus paved the way for your hope to give you access to come right on behind the veil. So if you could just hope, you can come right on in the presence of God. Now do you understand why the enemy is after your hope? He's trying to keep you out of his presence. Because if you ever get in his presence, you're going to get a revelation of who he is. If you ever get in his presence, you're really going to see him for who he is. You'll start seeing him that, oh, he is faithful. I've been looking at God from too far back, but now that I'm up closer, I got a better view of who you are. You are faithful. You are truer. You are dependable. You are trustworthy. You are worthy of your name, God. I can trust you. I can hope in you, God. Your hope gives you close access to him. The enemy trying to keep you out of his presence so you won't see what he look like. Because when you get close to him, you become familiar with his behavior, his conduct, his mannerisms, how he speaks, what he sounds like, what he looks like, what moves him, what stirs him. The enemy is trying to keep you from entering into presence of God. We didn't even know it as black folk. We was prophesying to ourselves, keep hope alive. Because as black people, we very spiritual people. Didn't even realize we were prophesying to ourselves because it's your access to go beyond the veil. Your access to enter into the presence of a holy God. I don't even know how to express that to y'all. I'm trying my best to express it to y'all. Because there are many days you were there, you called on his name, but you didn't have access. Many days where you prayed prayed the best prayer you knew how to pray, and you didn't have access. Many days you opened your mouth and gave him the fruit of your lips. You gave him your best praise, the highest praise. You said, hallelujah, the highest praise to the Most High God, and you still didn't have access. Many days you got in your word and you gave God back his word, saying, God, you said, right here in your word, you said, and you still didn't have access. Not because Jesus has not caused the veil to be torn. The veil has been torn, but some of us simply did not have the hope. Do you understand how real this is? How much you mean to God, that God said, I'm willing to release my grace for you to hope again, because I want you to come back into my presence. You have become so consumed with life. Some of us are so consumed with the troubles that we deal with day to day, where God is not in our daily routine as he once was. And God is saying, I miss my fellowship. I miss my communion with you. But I, being God, will release my grace that hope can come alive, that you can enter into my presence once again, because I miss you. And see, some of us just want to know, people, do we matter to people? God wants you to know that you matter. That I will give you my hope, that you can return back into my presence, because you matter. Not asking you to be perfect. Just hope and come back into my presence. Not asking you to do everything right. Dot all of your I's and cross all of your T's. Just hope and come back into my presence. Shay, God wants to reveal himself to you like never before. Like never before. Because your heart is already pricked. God already be dealing with you. But external influences be pulling on you. Things on the outside be pulling on you. But you already know God be dealing with you. Till I could even shake what you showed me not too long ago. I'm going to remind you what you told me. I need a word. What person just speaks like that? A person who does not have relationship, a person who does not know God, does not speak in that manner. He's calling you back. And he's calling you closer. It doesn't matter what's pulling on you from the outside. He may not like it, but I don't care. He can't even be no reason. She can't even be no reason. That doesn't mean you don't take care of her. How can you take care of people when you fail to take care of you? You can't take care of people properly if you don't properly take care of yourself. You know he's dealing with you. So I remind you what the Bible says, stop quenching his spirit. Stop shutting it down. Because guess what? You can handle the responsibility. Yes, you can. The weight of it, yes, it may seem difficult, but you can handle it. Yes, you can. Oh, yeah.
been watching you throughout this service. Why are you afraid to just go ahead and break down? Because see, you have that mindset, if I cry, I probably won't be able to stop crying. If I really was to open up my life and let people know what I'm dealing with at such a young age. But he want to remind you, you're built for it. You can handle it. Yeah. That's why you haven't lost your mind. That's why you're still here. Because he want to remind you, even in you talking to him, he hears you. He hears you. Come on, pray for the burden. Pray for the weight of the burden that's on her. Pray for the weight of the burden that's on her. Nobody understand the pressure that she's carrying. Called to lead and really don't understand what it is to be a leader. Called to lead and really don't understand how to lead. But I feel the weight and I feel the pressure. I can't fail my child, God. Willing to do whatever. But he's reminding you, you can't do it without him. Call your hope back. Reposition yourself back, Shay. Get back to making time to talk to God. Whether you got to do it early in the morning or late at night, talk to God. If you love her, help her. Take the baby, say, I got her. So she can have time to talk to God. Because, baby, I'm telling you, this stuff that y'all deal with, her prayers, is what's keeping y'all afloat. I don't care how many jobs you got. Your job is nothing but a resource. God is the source. You see, where the average person with being in break and fold under the pressure, help her. Give her time. She got to talk to God. She got to talk to God. Need to enter back into his presence, y'all. See, I don't know about y'all, but that matters to me when God tells me he missed me. When he's telling me I want to talk to you. Oh, I miss talking to you. Come and talk to me. See, that's how you know somebody care about you. They want to hear what you got to say. They like how your voice sound. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Other folk may get tired of your voice. They get tired of hearing what you say. They don't like the stuff that be coming out your mouth. But he loves it. He said, come, I want to talk to you. I miss talking to you. You who considers yourself to be strange. You consider yourself to be different. He's saying, you, I miss you. Said whether the forerunner is for us enter, even Jesus is already in it. He's already paved the way, made the way for us to go behind the veil. Now you just simply just must use your hope to enter in. I can't believe I'm about to say it. Hope can get you where your worship can't take you. See, everybody don't know how to worship, but that doesn't mean you don't know how to hope. And again, I say, who would serve a God like this? Because see, we've been taught the most holy place is meant for the worshiper. But now God is reminding me of times I didn't even understand what worship was, but I hoped in God and I entered into his presence. You got to set up that even when you don't even understand worship, but don't even got it down packed, just hope. Not telling you not to worship,
But on the day you're struggling with your worship, just hope. He said, because Jesus already made the way. He's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Father, we just thank you. Come on, somebody, just lift your hands to him and let him know you thank him. God, we just thank you. What a wonderful God you are. See, this is why he's so full of wonder. Look at what he spoke to us. Even on the days that I'm struggling with my worst, you still made it possible for me to enter into your presence because of my hope. God, I just thank you for being such a good God. This is why he's good, because of things like this. He's done something good for you that I don't even understand. My simple mind can't even wrap around it. My finite mind can't even wrap around what you just said to me, God. But all I know is, God, if I hope in you, my hope will not fail. So, Father, I pray, God, that we as your people, as we have our heads extended before you, God, God, it is a sign that we surrender to the word that you have released, God, that if you said it, it shall be. It is a sign, God, that we surrender, that we believe that hope is the anchor of our soul, God, that will keep us from being moved, easily moved, God, from out of your will and out of your plan and purpose, God. But as we have our hands raised and extended towards you, God, open, it is also a sign, God, that we receive, God, the grace that you will release to us, God. Because you said you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble, and we humble ourselves before you. Almighty God, almighty King, we humble ourselves before you, God, because of this, God. Prove to us, God, that you are God. As we say we receive your grace, God, back into our life, God, we ask, God, resurrect hope back in our lives, God, beyond our perspective and perception, God, beyond our understanding, God, beyond our emotions and feelings, God, resurrect hope back in our lives, God, that we can hope, God, in the will of God, the perfect divine will of God again, God, that we can hope, God, in the promises that have seemed to take years, God, that we can hope in the promises, God, that we felt that we've given up on, God, but yet you have not given up on, God. Time cannot stop them, fear cannot stop them, lack of understanding cannot stop them, hopelessness and despair cannot stop them, God. Resurrect our hope alive in us again, God, that we can trust you, that you would bring your word to pass, God. We remind you that you are mediator between us and yourself, God. Remember your covenant word that you brought into covenant with us, Lord God. Whatever promise that you've spoken concerning our lives, God, how you said that you would use us, how you said that you would bless us, how you said that you would heal, save, deliver us, God. Those that are connected to us, God, how you would use us, God, in the workplace, in our home, God. For the sinner man, the sinner woman, God, remember, God, that you are in covenant agreement with us and with yourself, God. You have mediated and you swore upon your own name, God. Two immutable things that we remind you of, God. You cannot lie. Your word cannot change. Your name cannot change, God. And you're backing us by your name, by your reputation, and by your word, God. So because of that, Father, as hope is resurrected in us, God, calls the promises, God, to manifest, God, at the appointed time, calls the promises of God to manifest in our life, God. And God, we will keep ourselves in position to give you the praise for what you are going to do. We will continue to praise you for what you have done. But keep praising you for what it is that you're doing even now. Lord, we're asking because you said you are a keeper.
you will not suffer our foot to be moved. Keep us, God, in the place where our hope, we won't lose it. It will not die. Keep us in position. Keep us in place that we're able to hope in you, God, hope in your word. Because if you do this, God, that hope shall remain as an anchor in our soul. And because of that hope, God, it's a necessary ingredient, a part of our faith. We can trust you, God. And because of that hope, God, because of that anchor, we shall be anchored. Our soul shall be anchored in you. We will not be moved by every wind, by every doctrine, God, that will come. We will not be moved by the false teachers and the false prophets. But we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto the church, God. And for that, we say thank you. Come on, every heart, tell the Lord amen and give him praise, give him praise. Because if he said it, it shall be. I pray that you'll have hope in your soul. It's the place in your soul that needs hope. Some days your mind needs the hope again. Your heart needs the hope again. Your will, your actions need to hope again. And God has made it so that we're able to hope again. Amen. He's such a wonderful God. He's such a good God. Can't thank him enough. I bless his wonderful name. I bless his wonderful name. Well, we're at the part of the service that if you need an envelope, it's still part of our praise and worship. If you need an envelope, the ushers are preparing to get an envelope. So if you can raise your hand if you need an envelope, and the ushers will quickly get you an envelope.